Good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday evening service on the 22nd of April 2020. It's a blessing that you could join us this evening. Please feel free to share prayer requests and blessings on the site, whichever you're watching, Facebook or YouTube. You can post comments on either one, and I'm happy to respond and add prayer requests to the list and send them out to everyone. But it's a blessing to have you as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John this evening. This is a very important, very well-known discourse from Jesus on being the bread of life. And tonight we will be looking at verses 48 through 59 of John chapter 6. The Bible says, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So tonight we look at Jesus talking about my flesh and my blood. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom, that you would guide us in your truth tonight as we look into your word together, Lord, that we would learn great things, things that would help us be more effective for you. I pray that your will be done in every heart of everyone who listens to this message. Lord, that you would use it in lives in the power of your word through the Holy Spirit. We commit it to you now in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So a very interesting passage where Jesus here is talking about being the bread of life. And he makes that very clear even over in verses 31. He says, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So Jesus makes it very clear that he is the true bread, the bread of life that came down from heaven. He was still answering their question about the manna there in verses 31 to 35. But he makes it very clear in verse 35 that the key is we must believe. We must believe on him. We must come to Christ and believe on him. And as he says over in chapter 5, verse 40, he says, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." We must come to Jesus Christ and believe on Jesus Christ to receive the bread. So he says there in verse 49, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." That manna was miraculous, no question about it. God rained it down from the sky. The Israelites were able to eat it and be sustained on it. But it was still just earthly food and did not give them eternal life. It didn't give them anything spiritual. It just sustained their physical bodies. And that's what Jesus is saying, that manna did not keep them alive or help them to live forever, but that manna was just temporary. They ate it, and they're dead. And Jesus then compares that manna to himself. He is the bread that gives eternal life, everlasting life. And as he says in verse 51, "I am the living bread." So Jesus is very different from the manna in that he is the living bread. As he says in verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." So the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, gives us eternal life. Now he goes on to say, the bread that I will give is my flesh. So of course the Jews got confused along the way and started trying to take this literally, which was a mistake on their part. But Jesus makes that very clear, that he would give of his flesh. Now what that means is he would give of his body for you and for me. And the Bible talks a lot about this. This is the incarnation, if you will. If you go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, we will see that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1 and verse 1. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, if you would, quickly. And we will see what Jesus was trying to explain that the Jews didn't completely comprehend. Hebrews 2 verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy them had the power of death, that is, the devil. So the body of Jesus Christ was given as a sacrifice for you and for me. We actually talked about this in our last Sunday school lesson, the lesson on substitution, how the body of Jesus Christ was an offering that was acceptable unto the Lord for our sins, for you and for me. He was a substitute. And that's talked about here in Hebrews again, chapter 10, verse 10. It says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Notice it says his body. It says the sacrifice, or the offering of his body, was sufficient sacrifice for you and for me. And this is what Jesus is trying to explain to them, that he would give of his body, of his flesh, as a substitutionary payment for our sin. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So notice the Bible is very clear here that Jesus Christ says here in John 1:51, I will give of my flesh. I'm going to ask my sound department to come and fix a bit of a distracting noise for me. But he says that he would give of his flesh, his body would be given as a sacrifice for you and for me. And that is exactly what Jesus was talking about. But when Jesus gave of his flesh, notice back in our passage, John chapter 6, verse 52, the Jews then, they strove among themselves. They didn't know what to think of it. And then Jesus went on to talk about his blood. In verse 53, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. This entire discourse was a spiritual discourse. How do we know this? Verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But the Jews still didn't get it. We'll talk about this next week. But in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him, because they were trying to take it literally. This explanation from Jesus Christ about the sacrifice of his body and the sacrifice of his blood. But let's talk about his blood. One of the most greatest payments, no, I shouldn't say that, the greatest payment in the history of the world was the payment of the blood of Jesus Christ for you and for me. The Bible has so much to say about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, but I'm just going to touch on some scriptures. Leviticus 17:11 says, the life of the flesh is given in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your sins. But let's look at some scriptures real quick. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. And you'll want to watch the series on the doctrines of salvation to see the many ways that the blood of Jesus Christ is a blessing to us at salvation. But notice Romans chapter 3, verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. So notice that word propitiation, it means the satisfaction of God, that he was satisfied with the payment of Christ's blood. Notice Romans 5:9. The Bible says, much more than being now justified by his blood. So we've seen that the blood atones, that the blood propitiates, and the blood justifies. And then in Ephesians 1:7, this will be the lesson we'll be talking about this coming Sunday at 10, but it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. So atonement, propitiation, justification, redemption. Also look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. We're talking now about the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Here we see reconciliation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then if you would go over to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. Hebrews 13, 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. So here we see that we receive sanctification through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. By the way, this is just a sampling. But Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So the blood of Jesus Christ was the satisfaction of God's demand for the payment for our sin. And when Jesus Christ was explaining to the Jews about his flesh and about his blood, he was not saying that we should eat his literal flesh and drink his literal blood. But what he was saying was we have to receive him into our lives. We have to accept the payment of his body for our sins, and we have to accept the payment of his blood for our sins, his blood which atones and propitiates and justifies and redeems and reconciles and sanctifies and washes us from our sins. That is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. So back to our passage there in John chapter 6. We just looked at verse 53, but at the end of the verse, look what he says. Ye have no life in you. He makes it very clear that we can only receive eternal life by receiving him into our lives. He that hath the Son hath life, 1 John 5, verse 11. But he goes on to say, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. There's no other way to get life, he says, but through Jesus, through his sacrificial death, and through his shed blood. That's the only way to receive life. But he's also saying in this statement that without Jesus, we're dead. Of course, that's what the Bible teaches. Ephesians 2:1 says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Who were dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins before we got saved. So moving on in our passage, verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So again, his flesh and his blood. This is what this whole passage is about, his flesh and his blood. So not only does Jesus give us eternal life through his flesh and his blood, through his sacrificial giving of his body, through the shedding of his beautiful, perfect blood, but also we can then look forward, as he says there, to the resurrection. I will raise him up at the last day. But all through this passage, he talks about his flesh and his blood. If you notice verse 53, flesh and blood. Verse 54, flesh and blood. Verse 55, flesh and blood. Verse 56, flesh and blood. This passage is about Jesus Christ, his body and his blood being acceptable offering for our sins. Verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Again, he promises eternal life to those that will receive the payment of his body and blood. Notice John chapter 11, where he talks about how we'll never die. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection of the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. If we receive the payment of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ into our lives, we receive eternal life. And what that means for us is we will never die. Praise God. So, there are some who've gotten confused by this passage even today and believe that we should somehow eat the literal flesh and drink the literal blood of Jesus Christ, but the Bible doesn't say that. And as Jesus said there in verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. He's speaking spiritual truths here. And the literal body of Jesus Christ died on Calvary, but it is not with us that we can feed on it. It's in heaven. And the literal blood of Jesus Christ was shed for us at Calvary, but it was offered unto God at His throne as payment for our sin. It's not available for us. It's in heaven. And it was an acceptable offering and payment for our sins. And we need to receive that payment, that substitutionary death and blood of Jesus Christ is the only way we're going to find heaven. And that's what Jesus is trying to explain to the people, that there's no other way to be rescued from death and to receive eternal life but to accept the payment that Jesus made on Calvary as an offering for our sin. Now that word offering, if you go to Isaiah 53, and we looked at this again last Sunday morning at 10 o'clock in our Sunday school class on substitution. But that word offering is a very important word, and that's what Jesus is getting across in this passage. Verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. So notice that Jesus Christ became that acceptable offering. And as we saw there in Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to atone, to propitiate, to justify, to redeem, to wash us, to sanctify us. Hallelujah. So my flesh and my blood, Jesus is saying he's the only way. And he will go on, as we know, to make that very clear in this passage. John is the great book of the I Ams. He's already told us that he is the light of the world. He'll say it again in John chapter 8. He says here that he's the bread of life. He will go on to say that he is God and that he has many other things, that he is the I Am and so forth. One of the great I Ams of John chapter of the Gospel of John is that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I hope that you can confidently say that you have fed upon that bread by accepting the payment of Jesus Christ that he made on Calvary for your sins by trusting him as your Savior, as the one who paid the price with his body, his flesh, and with his blood. Hallelujah. For the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we remember every time we partake of the Lord's Supper together, is an opportunity to remember the broken body and the shed blood of our wonderful Savior Jesus Christ. All of it for us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for this beautiful passage, this beautiful reminder about the body and blood of our Savior. And Lord, may it just rekindle in our hearts a gratefulness for our salvation. And Lord, maybe there's someone listening that's not even sure they're saved. May they realize they must come to Christ as the only answer. Thank you for this beautiful truth. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and God bless you.